Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
And a big congratulations to everybody on the Healing Place Church Arena. What an exciting time for any church. What a breakthrough. And look at this place. How posh you are now. Wow. Such a great, great day. So I couldn't say congratulations enough. And frankly, I don't know two pastors more than Pastor Dino, Pastor Dylan, who deserve to see the blessing of God and a great, great, great facility like this opened. And they're already blessed with the best people in all of Louisiana. And now they're blessed with the best building in all of Louisiana. It can only get better from here. And you already thought about the amount of people who are going to find Christ in this building. Already this morning, someone mentioned what four wives was it for four sons he's going to find in this building. I thought he was going to have an altar call right here and now. You think about the things that happen in a building like this. And then you think about, of course, all that it takes to have a building like this. I came last when it was simply steelwork, and already now to see what's happened in that time. It's just really exciting. So you're on the edge of a miracle. You're a part of it. They're great days to be alive. It's the 25th of April 2010. In Australia, we call this Anzac Day. It's a little like your Veterans Day. It's when we honor the returned soldiers and those who make sacrifices in the past. That's what the day is today in Australia. However, here we are, 25th of April. 2010, the right people in the right place at the right time for God to do something supernatural. How exciting is that? Now, Father, I thank you for every person who's gathered in this building. And I thank you, Lord, that there's not an individual that's here by chance. Every single person who's here is here by the divine will of an almighty God. And I commit every will to you, every person to you, every life, every hurt, every pain, every sickness, every defeat, every conflict is subject to the name that's above every other name, and that's the name of Jesus. And we exalt the name of Jesus in this place today. And we're so grateful for Jesus and so grateful for the goodness of God. And we thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, I know it's the 9 o'clock service. It's the early service, but I've been told the 9 o'clock service are the best service to preach to in the whole place. I heard, this is what I heard, Pastor Dino. I heard the 11 o'clocks, they're nice people, but you know, they're not as spiritual as you. They sleep in a little more and they kind of wait till you reserve their car spot so they can come and get it easy, whereas you've taken the time out early to reserve the spot for them. But the 9 o'clock people, they're a different thing altogether. You are that much closer to heaven, apparently, than the 11 o'clock people right here. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25? I love church openings, dedications. I love seeing the church get a stake in the ground. The devil hates it because of what it represents. It means we ain't going anywhere. We're here for the long haul, praise God. I love seeing the church advance. I'm a church man. Unapologetically, believe in the potential of God's house. I love that thought of people with a heart for God's house. It's exciting. So I believe that when ordinary people have a heart for God's house, extraordinary things are about to happen. Here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells stories. And in this one particular story, it's a story that many of you would know well. It's called the parable of the talents. And it starts in about verse 14, and it says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. If you look up far country in the Greek, it actually is Australia. Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, made another 5 talents. In other words, took what he had and was creative and entrepreneurial and a good steward with it, and doubled what he had. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me to 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I really believe that Pastors Dino and DeLynn and the church here, you've been faithful over a few things, over a long season of time. And I believe the Lord is, not only in terms of this building, but in terms of opportunity, ministry, outreach, increase, influence. Remember that word, influence. As you've been faithful over a few things, the Lord's given you the opportunity to be faithful over many things. In Jesus' name. So in verse 21, his Lord said, well done, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you faithful over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also had received 2 talents came, same thing happened. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the other, verse 24, he who had received just 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent to the ground. Look there. You have what is yours. Do you know, it seems that these 3 servants, each of them had a totally different spirit. Our spirit is sometimes indefinable. Our spirit sometimes is invisible. But your life has a spirit about it. And this church has a spirit about it. And the spirit of our lives, or the spirit of the church, is either a hindrance or a huge blessing in making a way for us when it comes to the things of God. I was preaching many years ago here in the United States, and at that time I really didn't know a lot of people in America. And I actually, at that trip, went and visited the pastor of what was a huge ministry. I didn't know him personally, I was only a young man. And our church was just a fledgling church, just starting out. And so to go and meet this pastor was a big privilege. And I expected him to shake my hand and maybe pray a prayer for me and that's it. But instead of that, he basically opened up the doors to me for the next few days. And everywhere he went, I went. And he took me around his home. And even when he had a church board meeting, he took me into the board meeting. And even when in the board meeting, they ended up having a little bit of a, you know, it was one of those board meetings, and I'm just sitting there in the middle of it all, a complete stranger. And he just completely invited me into his home, and I went home so excited that I'd had that opportunity to meet this mentor. But I was shocked when, just a few weeks later, I got a letter from him, and it was a personal invitation to come the following year and speak at his, what was a national conference. And all of the speakers on the list, they were people who, to me, they were just names up there somewhere. I was just completely shocked. And a few years later, I asked them, I said, why did you ask me to speak at your conference? You hardly even knew me. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, because I liked your spirit. He had never heard me preach. He took a big risk. I only met me for a few moments, but he said he liked my spirit. I wonder if it's just you and God, and You're sitting under a tree. You're talking about your spirit. I mean, Scripture talks about a spirit in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, a meek and a quiet spirit that is described as being of great price or precious, very precious to the Lord. God himself, the Scripture talks about him as having a generous spirit. The psalmist said, uphold me with your generous spirit. Some people have got a negative spirit. Some people have got a mean spirit or an angry spirit or a critical spirit. Some people are just hard-hearted or they've got a hard spirit. I wonder what would describe your spirit. Because believe me, your spirit does either make a way or become a hindrance when it comes to the purpose of God in your life. And having said all of that, can I tell you this? I love the spirit of this church. I love the spirit of this church. And I love the spirit of the pastors of this church. And I can see why God's blessing this church. And why, in fact, the best is still to come. And I can see why people are being drawn and why people are being attracted to this church. Because I believe this is a church which is a good-hearted, good-spirited church. And it's the kind of church that will attract the blessing of God. And I believe with all my heart that the best is yet to come. Can anyone say amen? I believe it with all my heart. So you look at these three servants where we began. And you know, you have two servants who have an entirely different spirit than the other servant. The first two had a spirit that recognized the goodness of the master. The third servant spoke about the master in terms of being a hard man. If I could just read a couple of verses one more time. It says here in verse 21 that the master said to the first servant, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, he encountered the master's goodness. He says, you've done this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to fill your life with joy. But if you look at the experience of the third servant, he had a different attitude altogether. He said in verse 24, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. The way they saw the master determined their own experience in their lives. And you know, the way we see God, the way we see the master, has such an impact on our own experience in life. And not everybody sees God the same way, sadly. Not everybody has the same perspective of God. I love to be around people who have a heart that recognizes the goodness of God and who want to live their lives in a way that reflects the goodness of God. And I would say one of the things that marks the persona of this church is that it's a church filled with people who represent and recognize the goodness of God. You know, Psalm 119, verse 68, it's a simple little psalm. It's right in the middle of the longest psalm in the scripture in a tiny little verse, but listen to what it says. The psalmist simply says, you are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. The way people believe God is determines what they believe God does. Do you believe God is good? I mean, do you really believe that God is good? Because if you believe God is good, then you'll have an expectation that God is going to do good. You are good and you do good. In a similar way, in Psalm 11, verse 7, listen to what it says. It says, the Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. And it goes on and says, his countenance or his favor beholds the upright. His favor beholds the righteous. So listen to it one more time, really good, quick. The Lord is good and he does good. The Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. The Lord is righteous and his favor, his blessing, is upon the righteous. So who the Lord is determines what the Lord does, it determines what the Lord loves, and it determines what the Lord blesses. Who you think God is affects what you think God does. because of the way some people think God is, they blow up buildings and destroy innocent people. All because of the way they think God is. And here's a place, here's a church that not only believes in the goodness of God, but shares with others the goodness of God. And if we're people who know the goodness of God and have an expectation of the goodness of God, then I believe it'll affect what we see God do. It'll affect what we see that God loves. And eventually it'll affect what we see God blesses in Jesus' name. You know, there's two types of birds in the desert. One is a vulture and the other is a hummingbird. And you know, a vulture is looking for dead things, smelling, stinking dead things. A hummingbird is looking for new life, fresh growth, new life. And here's the thing, they both find what they're looking for. And you know, it comes to that when it comes to life. There are some people, they're looking for dead things. They come into church, judging how loud the music is. I feel the light's a bit too dark, the floor's too shiny. I didn't like it. Like all those things on the front there. You know, the pastor, he's a nice man, but I didn't like that. I don't know. It goes a bit too long. It's a bit, why do we have an Australian? I can't even understand what he's saying. Why couldn't we get someone who can speak American in this place? They're looking for dead things. And by the way, if you're not used to an Australian accent, you need to get used to it. Because in heaven, everybody talks like this. It's a dress rehearsal. This is a dress rehearsal right here. They're looking for dead things. And when you look for dead things, you tend to find them. But others, they're like the hummingbird. They come into a desert, same desert. Sometimes you're in a desert, there's not too much to find of anything. And yet the one can find a dead carcass and the other can find new life. And if we believe in the goodness of God, we don't have an expectation of God's hardness and harshness. We're not living lives feeling like God is against us, but we know He is for us. And we have the kind of environment where the teaching and the preaching and the worship and the atmosphere and the conversation and the welcome out the front, all of it gives people the sense that God is good and that He is for me. He is on my side. And it's amazing how that way people encounter a God who is for them, who is on their side, who can turn around the impossible and work miracles for them and fulfill His promise in them and bring to pass all those things that have been spoken over their lives in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, the two servants, they encountered the goodness of God. The third, he knew God as a hard man. And then secondly, the two, they allowed the master's giving to change their lives. One was given 5 talents, the other one was given 2 talents. And that gift changed their life, whereas the third, he was given 1 talent. And what did he do in verse 25? He dug it and buried it in the ground. He wouldn't let it touch his life. And I really believe that as I look around this place, that there are many people who have received so much from the Lord. Maybe what you've received is in your children and your family. Maybe what you've received is in your God-given opportunity. Maybe what you've received is just being a part of this fellowship and being in a church where you're loved and where you're cared and where you're valued. And where, as a church, people are living beyond themselves and making a difference to a lot of people. But I do know this, that when you have the attitude of the two servants here, who know that what God has given them enables them to change their lives, and you decide that you'll live that way, as opposed to the third, who just took what he was given and buried it, and never ever became a good steward of it. Well, I believe this church, number one, it's a church that represents the goodness of God. And number two, I know it's a church that represents the generous heart of God. Freely you have received, freely you have given. And you know, I just thank God for the opportunity to be in a generous environment. A generous environment, it shows on the people's words. People are encouraging, they build up, they speak life into you. When you get in a generous environment, it's not pointing out all the negatives, not pointing out all the defeats. When you get in a generous environment, the thinking's not small, the expectation's not small. When you get in a generous environment, you realize that we've received so much from the Lord. And the word itself, Jesus says, freely you have received, freely you give. And I thank God that you have the chance to be a part of a generous environment. And I would encourage you to live your life with that spirit of generosity. Do you know, many people, they have problems receiving. Many people have trouble receiving what God has done for them. They can believe that God will bless the next person, but they just struggle believing that God could bless them, receiving what God has done for them. Look, see this watch. You may not be able to see it from there, but it's a nice watch. It's a bit worn out these days, but it's a nice watch. I was here in America once, and somebody just gave me this watch. They just gave it to me. And I didn't ask for it. I didn't expect it. I was embarrassed. As a matter of fact, they were in a different town. And they asked me when I was going to be in the U.S., and I told them. And they asked me where I was staying, and I told them. And they just sent this watch to the hotel. I opened the box, and here's a real nice watch. And I'm telling you this on purpose, because there's different reactions here when I tell you that. There'd be some people who would be looking at this and think, oh, yeah. There wouldn't be many, not here that wouldn't, of course, but there'd be some of them be thinking, oh, yeah, what did you do for them? People don't just give watches away. You must have done something for them. Australians tend to think like that. I remember once, I actually have got a motorbike that someone gave me, and I was riding my motorbike, and a guy stopped beside me, and he said, man, it's a nice bike. I said, thank you. I got given it. And he went, given it. What did you do? People don't just give away motorbikes just like that, you see. And then there's other people, they're thinking to themselves, nobody's ever given me a nice watch. How come they give you a nice watch? They never give me a nice watch. And then there's other people here who would be thinking, I would never deserve a nice watch like that. I could never expect, you know, I would never, ever deserve a nice watch like that. And they can't freely receive. And you know, if you can't freely receive, you don't freely give. And God's got so much for you as a church. God's got so much for you as an individual. God's got so much for you as a family. And I believe the Lord wants to do extraordinary things in you. And I believe that this is a house, God's house, which is an extraordinary house, and He wants to do some wonderful things. And I believe it's the will of the Lord for this house to be marked by the goodness of God and to be marked by a spirit of generosity. And a spirit of generosity means that we freely receive and we freely give. You know, Malachi chapter 3, it talks about tithing. It says, pour out, you know, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing there will not be room enough for you to receive it. And it starts talking about blessing more than you can contain. But a lot of people never get to that part because they can't get past the very first part. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And they're locked there. And locked there. They never ever do get into the part where it begins to talk about receiving such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Friend, I prophesy into this place that this is called to be a house of generosity, a house where you freely receive and you freely give. You're not mean and tight with your words, you bless. Amen. When someone speaks life into you, you receive it. And on the other hand, you have the kind of words where you breathe life into those around and about you. When it comes to the will of God to see the house go forward, you've got that kind of spirit that recognizes all you've received from the Master, all that Jesus has brought into your life. And because you've freely received, you've got the kind of heart that freely gives. You want to give into the work of the Lord and see God's will fulfilled. Do you know, the third thing I see in this story, Matthew 25, a well-known story that Jesus told, and I want you to think about this, and that is, I believe this house is a house that truly does care about the Master's domain, cares about what's important to the Master, has a heart for God's house itself. The first two servants wanted to advance the Master's domain. One was given 5 talents, the other was given 2. Each of those, they took what they were given, they worked with it, they were creative, they were entrepreneurial. I guess they prayed over it, they believed over it. And so when the Master called accounts, They cared about advancing the master's domain, and they were able to bring back to the master double what they had been entrusted with. Pretty awesome. Whereas the one, of course, he didn't care about what was important to the master. He just took what he had and held it so tight. Dug it in the ground. And I believe this is called to be a house that really is all about advancing the master's domain. In Genesis 12, it calls it that he may bless you, make your name great, so that you can be a blessing. As wonderful as this is, you've hardly started yet. There are so many more people to reach. There is so much more to be accomplished. There are so many people unsaved. There's so many things not yet done. There's so many things. Do we want to live our lives in such a way that we recognize the goodness of God and we live our lives out of the goodness of God and we have an expectation out of the goodness of God? So out of that expectation, we're not looking for dead things, but we're looking for life. Do we want to live our lives in a way where we recognize that freely we've received and will continue to freely give? Are we going to live our lives in a way where we want to advance the master's domain, not just take what we have, our own little blessing, and as long as my car park and my car lot's there, and as long as I can fit my children into the children's ministry, and as long as nobody sits in my seat, then I'm happy. Are we going to live our lives like that, or are we all about advancing the master's domain, seeing the work of the Lord go forward? And can I tell you, if you care about what's important to the master, then you care about people. Because you think of Jesus. Jesus cared about the poor. He cared about the lost or the unsaved. Think about this for a moment. And what else did Jesus care about? He cared about the saints, the believers. And he cared about the church. And ultimately, it all comes down to people, 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 people. The poor, people. The lost, the unsaved, people. The church, people. The saints, people. It's all about people. And if we genuinely are a body of people who care about people, and this is the heart of Pastor Dino and it's the heart of Pastor DeLynn, if we genuinely are those people and we start really having a heart for what's important to God, then we'll care about the poor, we'll care about the lost, and we'll care about the needy. And this is a church that does that so well. It truly is a healing place. It truly is a place where people find answers and where their physical needs are met and so on. And that's very, very, very exciting to see. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus speaking says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Think about it, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He cared about the poor. And then the other thing Jesus said, Matthew 16, 18, is, "I will build my church." You know, it's a funny thing. A lot of people can see the good when you want to live your life to feed the poor and help the poor. But not so many people really understand the power when you want to live your life to build the church. Let's care about all that's important to the master. Can I read one more scripture to you? It's Mark 14. I'd love you to turn there with me quickly. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Let's hear those pages turning. 9 in the morning, 25th of April, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Cajun territory, where the food is decadent and the people are beautiful. My kind of place. Mark 14, story Jesus tells, and I'll read it real quick here. Tells how, verse 3, being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, Jesus sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. Notice this. Here's a woman who had some expensive perfume. It was worth a full year's wages. That's how expensive it was. And she broke it for her spiritual life, for Jesus. And listen to the way people responded. There were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? It may have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me." And here's the interesting thought. Do you know, we live in a time when people don't criticize you when you start living your life to help the poor. And nor they should. It's our responsibility as believers. But isn't it interesting that when she was prepared to make sacrifice and give, not just for social things, but for spiritual things, when it comes to issues of salvation, when it comes to issues of relationship with God, that's when people began to criticize her. That's when people started saying, "What are you doing that for? What a waste. It could have been given to the poor." And you know, to this day, the world understands, in fact, sometimes lead when it comes to the giving to the poor. But what makes the difference between a philanthropist or the spirit of the world and a kingdom-spirited person, a person with a heart for God, is the person with a heart for God cares about all that's important to the master. And Jesus said that he loves the lost, he loves the poor, but he loves his church. He loves his church. "I will build my church." The scripture says that he loved his church and gave himself for it. And I pray this will be a people who are marked by a spirit that care about advancing the master's domain. And that means you recognize the goodness of God. It means that you reflect the heart of God with a spirit of generosity. And it means that you care about the building of the church. You don't just live your life only with a heart for the poor, but when you get people who really live their life for all that's important to the master, and they want to be involved in helping the hurting, and they also want to be involved in the building of the church, that's when you get a church that will stand out amongst churches and do something that you would never have dreamed was possible. And I want to encourage you to have that kind of heart, to have that kind of spirit, to have a heart for the house. The word says those who are planted and the house of the Lord shall flourish. Everybody say flourish. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Not flourish, flourish in the courts of our God. And it's the will of God for us to be filled with people who are flourishing in the house of the Lord. Praise God. And I pray that everything about you wants to advance the master's domain. You've received the master's goodness. Praise God. You recognize so freely he has received and freely you want to give. And you have that kind of heart where you love what's important to him. And you love seeing the hurting reached. And you love seeing the church of Jesus Christ built. And there'll always be people who, they won't point the finger when the church is helping the poor, but they'll start pointing the finger when the church starts building buildings and starts putting a stake in the ground and starts impacting people's spiritual lives and seeing people turn around. So why don't we decide that we're a people here? We care about everything that's important to the master. We're church people. We have a heart for the house of God. We want to see this a healthy house, a wonderful house where people are being reached, where lives are being turned around. And I pray that everything in you will realize that you're alive for something much bigger than yourself. We live in incredible times, days of opportunity. And as we, and I'm going to take a moment to just pray a prayer of dedication over this house, over this church. And as I do, I'm going to pray that this will always be a house that is all about advancing the master's domain. That it's never just about ourselves. It's a place that recognizes God's goodness. We worship him. We praise him because we know his goodness. It's a place that flows with generosity, which makes it a place of life. And I'm going to pray with all my heart that it will be a place where people care about all that's important to the master, where people value church. It's not just something you go to. It's something you're part of. You are the church. And you love being part of the church. And you want to see the church prosper and flourish. And reach out and do all that God has called it to do. Who's up for that in Jesus' name? Give us a wave if you're up for that. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.